My name is Jane Hash, and I want to thank you for downloading this episode of Hash It Out with Jane. As much as I do not like it, almost everyone I know has been affected by cancer in some way. To make it worse, some cancer survivors spend the rest of their lives just recovering from their cancer treatment. Like Sweet Brown says, ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Last summer, I went to a conference for certified natural health professionals, and I met a lot of amazing people there. Today, I reconnected with one of them, and she told me how she kicked cancer's ass with no drugs, and she still has her tatas intact. Here is our interview. Nicole Body Treese, thank you for joining me on Hash It Out with Jane.
Thank you, Jane. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm so glad you could make some time for our interview today. So you have an exciting story that I've been wanting to help you share for a while now, but we are both so crazy busy, it's been hard.
Yes, yes, yes. It's been exciting. I think when I last met you, well, when I last saw you and I met you last summer, I had just had the opportunity to actually go through a year-long process of getting my cancer eradicated through natural means. And I am just still proud to say that I am still cancer-free through a lot of the things that we learned through the CNHP, but also through the mentorship that I have here with an already natural health practitioner, Dr. Bette Roebuck.
That was awesome. Can you tell us, what was your lifestyle like in regard to diet, exercise, employment? Like, what was your life like before you were diagnosed with cancer?
You know, Jane, it's interesting that you asked me that question, was because I felt great. I mean, there was nothing, you know, that I could physically say was wrong with me. However, I will say that we had just, I'm a science teacher, and so we had just moved into a new building that had just been recently renovated. And it was a requirement that we were to use a microphone, and I would always keep the microphone as I was teaching throughout the classroom over my right breast. And I remember for about 2 years, I recall that I would tell my husband that I could feel things going into my breast. And my husband, being an ex-Marine, he would also say to me, he says, you know what, he says, I believe that. So what we ended up doing was, you know, just kind of monitoring. I did go and have, matter of fact, I had 2 mammograms. And then on the second mammogram, that's when it was discovered that I was at early stages of breast cancer, which was at 0-1. So it was still at the cellular state. It had not gone into the tissue state as of yet. But it was just interesting, was because we talk about energy and how energy works. And I'm here to tell you, I could feel things going into my breast. If I'm at the computer, I can feel things going actually into my fingertips, going into my breast. So that was one reason why I had already started really checking my breast. But I didn't have any lumps, no bumps. But I did notice that my breast had started to turn dark. So that was another sign. But outside of the mammogram until the second time, had no idea what was going on, but worked out. I wasn't that heavy. I had 2 children, so, you know, you kind of walk around and think about, you know, oh, this is just body, you know, just weight from them. But as far as being a concern, I didn't see that there was any need to do so.
Now, when your doctor diagnosed you with cancer, what treatment options did he or she provide you?
Well, you know, most of the doctors, the first thing they're going to say, let's operate. because I'm a science teacher and because they had indicated it was a 0-1, of course, I'm going to challenge them and ask them, well, let's just try to change the sales and have them go go back clockwise versus the counterclockwise. But unfortunately, the doctors weren't in agreement with that. They said we were about 50 years away from that. So they had suggested for us to just go ahead and have a lumpectomy. But because being as hard-headed as I am, I refused to go that route at the beginning, looking at trying to find other means of how I could do it on my own. And so then what I ended up doing was I ended up getting with this health practitioner that I'm presently under the mentorship with now. So the doctors, I told them just give me 3 months, which they did. And when I went in the 3 months, I recall this doctor, she went and said, you know, I'm sure that it's already in your lymph nodes, so we're going to go ahead and look at it underneath the ultrasound. And believe it or not, Jane, she could not find, even in the area that she, she was looking for, because at the time I had the biopsies, so they leave markers inside of your breast. And that's another story in itself, because, you know, I had gotten, you know, turned onto those essential oils and different things and all that. But it was amazing because she asked me while I was on the table, can you remember where it was? And I looked at her and I was like, this must be a trick question. But come to find out, she didn't see anything. So instead of saying, well, you know what, let's take another 3 months and let's, you know, check it out. Let's see if it, you know, if it comes back. Her first thing was, she says, look, I know it was there. You know that it was there. So let's just go ahead, because you already have calcification deposits. Let's just go ahead and take both breasts as a precautionary, you know, means.
Wait a minute. She couldn't find any cancer, and she wanted to remove both of your breasts?
Both breasts. Both. We went from a lumpectomy to let's just remove both breasts. Yes.
And how did you feel about that?
You know, I was a little mad. I was really ticked off. Be honest, I was. I looked at her and said, are you kidding me? And she looked at me dead in my face, and she says, you know what? I'm not going to lie to you. She says, you're a gorgeous young lady. She said, you know, I know you have younger children. You want to stay around for them. She said, but I'm going to tell you, she said, your will to live is stronger than this cancer. She said, so you could probably live with cancer inside your body all this, you know, for the rest of your life. She said, because your will to live. She says, but I will suggest to you that you go ahead and meet with my partner, who is the plastic surgeon that they work together.
Mm-hmm.
And she was so busy trying to get me into an appointment with the plastic surgeon that we didn't even talk about when the surgery was going to be, how, you know, what I need to do, you know, prior to the surgery. It went straight to, okay, I know I've got her underneath my wing. Let's go ahead and let's set her up for plastic surgery. And then we'll have her come in and then we'll talk about the surgery. That's basically how it went.
Did she at any point ask you what you did to make it go away?
You know what? No, she didn't, Jane. She sure didn't ask me that. She sure didn't.
Well, would you like to tell us?
Okay, well, sure. I tell you. Let's see. Where do I begin? You know, first thing I've learned, and especially since we have gone through CNHP, but the first thing I did, because I was not in CNHP at the time, is I had to find out where exactly the cancer stemmed from. And so what I've learned in what we have been studying with through my mentorship is that it's physical, spiritual, and you have the emotional part of it. So what ended up having to go through was... I love technology. I honestly and truly do. But that was where my first onset was that I was starting to experience some things. And there's a lady named Dr. Olali, who is a physicist, and she is a former nurse. And what she did was she has invented a device called the flat battery. So if you go to flatbattery.net, you'll be able to see all her accommodations and all the individuals that have helped her out along this venture. But the young lady that I'm going to, whose name is Bette Roebuck, she was she's from Panama originally, and she has so many of the old school, modalities of, you know, taking care of your health holistically. She's an avid person on prayer. And so through prayer, changing my diet, I started wearing this flat battery that helped me to to kind of ward off the radiation effects that I was getting from sitting in front of the computer or at work, you know, around all the different, Wi-Fi and everything. Then I took my head off of the wall, because we also learned that because of electrical outlets and things of that nature behind your wall. And believe it or not, now Jane, don't start laughing, because I am a science teacher. I knew that, and from my studies, I have been told that cancer cannot live in an alkaline environment. So I went to my bottom of my drawer in the refrigerator, and I took out lettuce leaves. And I walked around with lettuce in my bra because of the studies that I had learned about oxygen. And where do we get oxygen from? We get it from plants. Mm-hmm. And so that was what I had started to do. Also, I had a lady, her name is Molly. She has been just a dear heart. She's with Nikon, and she started reading up on things. And so she's had me putting plants in my bedroom. She had me, being positive. And then she was sending over these green smoothies that had from asparagus in it to peanut shells. Holes. She was trying to do everything that she could also in trying to make sure that my body stayed as alkaline. So it was really, really interesting. And let me just share, I really alkalined my body to the point. And then, you know, I was drinking the water to tie in alkalinity. But then the parasites woke up in my body. And you're talking about another excursion of things, because then I had to learn that you can make your body too alkaline. So it was just really, really phenomenal. But I had, I was going through what I was going through, and I couldn't get rid of the calcification deposits. And because we've learned, even when we did the class that we went to, we learned about muscle testing. And so I was like, okay, what's going on? These parasites are in the body. They're going rampant. But the main concern was that Ms. Robet wanted to get rid of the cancer. So she told me to do this. She said, I want you to go to the health food store and get three bottles of enzymes, digestive enzymes. You know, when we learned in those nutrition classes about enzymes, I was just floored away. I was like, oh my goodness, I can relate to that. So what I did was, Jana went and bought the three bottles of enzymes. I took them out of the tubes of the little capsules, and she told me to place them inside of the blender. I did, and she said, I want you to take a bottle a day. And sure enough, I took a bottle a day on the third day, and I'll never forget, it was a Friday afternoon, and I was at school, and I was teaching, and I was at the board, and I just felt like a little, small, little pop. It wasn't no big, huge pop, I grabbed my breast and fell to the floor. It was like a nice little pop, and I said, you know what I said? It felt like something just, busted, but, I'm still not thinking much of it.
Like it popped in your breast?
It was inside my breast. Okay. So what had already started to take place was that because by this time you're looking at maybe October, and I had been diagnosed on June 14th of 2011, and had the biopsies and everything. So, everything was already, in its course and taking its course. And so when I went to Dr. Robet, she says, look, she said, this is what I want you to do. She says, I want you to take these enzymes. So I took the enzymes, and she said, and in 3 days, she says, you should see some results. Not only did I feel the results, I went back on that Sunday, because this was a Friday, and I remember immediately after church, I went over to her clinic, and she muscle tested me. And sure enough, when she muscle tested me, I tested that the breast cancer had been eradicated, was gone. So that was at the first point when I was like, this stuff must really work. And then that's when that following Thursday is when I did go to the doctor. And then she also came behind with ultrasound results and said that the cancer, well, I just told you the story. She couldn't even find where the cancer was to begin with. So that's where I am. And I feel great. I'm, that's been, that was a year that I had gone back to the doctor in November of last year, and here we are in February of 2013.
And as of right now, you do not have cancer.
I do not have cancer.
That is fantastic. Now, how has the experience of having had cancer, how has that changed your lifestyle?
Oh, tremendously. Live each day as if it's your last. Secondly, it's really opened up the door because I'm a science teacher, so I'm able to teach on a different level than what I was just coming from the textbook. I'm able to talk about energy and how we use energy in such a valued way, especially in science, but also as being CNHP with us talking about how using the pendulum and using the other various forms of energy, you know, through, because at the place where I'm doing mentorship, she uses aquaform water, where she has a little device on her computer that in the tray, and then she can place the frequencies into the water as to what remedies that she needs to help you with ridding yourself of whatever, you know, form of the disease or whatever your body's lacking. So it has been tremendous. In the process of hopefully in the next couple of months going ahead and starting the doctor, you know, not the naturopath part of the doctor part. So it's been exciting. I'm really excited about it, but it's just, man, it just opens the door. But you know, it also opens the door to a lot of people thinking that this is not true. I mean, it can't be. It's hard to believe. But I will say that about out of the 4 or 5 people that I've met along my journey, they did not do it the way I did. And either they have gone through a horrible postpartum, means from after the surgery with their breast being reconstructed, and now they're having a lot of problems. I had one young lady who was in the hospital for 10 days because she got an awful staph infection. Because they had her, you know, her breast open, her chest open, waiting for the wound to heal. But then by that time, you know, you also looking at if the cancer was there and they hadn't gotten the cancer all, now you're looking at a form of, you know, spreading. Mm-hmm. So it's been awesome. No surgery, no radiation, and no chemo.
So if somebody came to you, a friend, and said, you know, they had just been diagnosed with cancer, what would be your first words of wisdom to share?
Get to the stem of it. Find out if it's from an emotional trauma. From the studies that I found out, we as women, we tend to carry a lot of our stress in our organs, which are designated toward our reproductive organs. And I have an aunt who has had about six different forms of cancer. And I've pretty much helped her get to a point that I think her last onset was because my dad died suddenly. Matter of fact, didn't mention that on the day that I found out that there was something on my breast, which later on we found out was breast cancer, my dad died that afternoon of a stroke. So he died so sudden that in itself can just be an enormous traumatic experience to your body that will cause your body to all of a sudden the oxygen be, you know, diminished from your cells. And that onset was one of those ones that emotion just sat right there, and it caused her breast cancer to come back. But since then, we have the last maybe 4 or 5 months, we've helped her eradicate that and get rid of that. So it's been it's like you're walking on eggshells, because when you tell your story, everyone looks at you like, yeah, you're lying, you know, right. that can't be true. So I just really have to, you know, explain to them that, you know, obviously, well, it's not, no, obviously, I was spared for a reason, and I'm telling my story just like as you've asked me to. We finally got a chance to meet up with each other, because I know you have asked me, and but I've been so busy telling my story, to be honest with you. And this whole time that we, you know, I haven't been in your presence, I've been telling my story over and over, and it has been phenomenal. Every time I tell it, I get, you know, just goosebumps on my arms just even thinking about how God spared me, because I too could be, you know, in my grave after, you know, going through all the different, the tremendous, you know, ups and downs of, mm-hmm. you know, having to go through such a traumatic experience. But it has been a journey. I'm so glad. I will never forget. I have my husband had a sister who passed away from breast cancer, which eventually metastasized to her liver. And I remember she said, you know what she said? I'm so glad I got cancer. She says, because I was able to be and do something these last so many years that I would have never been able to do if I had not been able to experience this. And I can really concur with what she said, because it's been an awesome, awesome journey. It really has been.
I'm so glad that I have this opportunity to help share your story. Because
thank you.
I understand how a lot of people are going to think, oh, she's just crazy. But, you know, the lettuce and the bra is not that strange compared to a lot of things that I've suggested people to do for different health issues, you know?
Right.
I mean, it's definitely a little easier to take than putting sweet potatoes on your hemorrhoids.
You're right. You're right. You are a card. Ooh, that's what I miss about you. That laugh, there you go.
So, you wrote a book. Now, your book has nothing to do with cancer.
No, it does not.
But it
is on education. So.
And that is what you do.
Yes, I am a science teacher, and I guess you would say, just like you, Jane, because, you know, you're not one of those original people. Outside of the box. And I will say that when the idea came to me to write the book, that was when we had that real bad windstorm, I guess maybe about 5, 6, 7 years ago, I guess, I'm trying to think of what exactly, which hurricane was going on at the time. But I do recall that I had been teaching students that here in Ohio, as you know, we need to pass the Ohio graduation test. Science is one of the number one areas, which is really profound, because we have really outnumbered the number of students who are outside of math. And so science has been one of those ones that's been up there. And what I try to do is I try to look at a very original way of how I connect with my students. And so the book is called Power Ushering Students Higher, which is Steps for Success. And I, with the acronym, we call it PUSH. And so basically pushing students to go beyond the original spectrum of learning science. And so I have a lot of different little techniques. It's not a long, you know, drawn out, biography, autobiography. It's really just the steps, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, those type of steps that that talk about what I've done in order to get my students to be successful. So during this time span when I wrote this book, I had 100% passage for all of my juniors. And a lot of the young men that were in my class happened to have been African-American young men. And I will never forget that one young man's mother, the year before that, because sophomores, that's the first year you take the test, that his mom took him out of my class because she wanted to place him in another classroom down the hallway, which at the time happens to be, you know, it is a school that I go to. I am one of the very few black teachers that works there. And I almost got offended, I did, when she emailed me to let me know in her nice little way that she had taken her child out of my classroom because, you know, she felt that, you know, he was going to do better in a Caucasian's classroom. But I had to, you know, not say much, you know, because I look at the non-traditional way, even of how I dealt with cancer, that there are different ways that you have to deal with our students as well. Any color, you know, all our diverse groups. And what was amazing about it was that this young man was back in my classroom, and he was one of the ones out of the 100% passage that I had that year that did pass in my classroom. So when I look at, again, the rims that I tell in my book, you know, we have to get kids to believe, first of all, that you can believe that you can do it, just like I did. I believe that I could, you know, beat this cancer in a non-traditional way, non-conventional way. And so from there, what was happened is that each year, because we're getting ready to start up on Monday, matter of fact, I will be teaching students how to pass the science part of the OGT. And it's not just sitting there in front of a board, but trying to make it relevant, like we're doing with the new state court standards that are coming out, we have to, if we're going to reach our students, we are going to have to teach in a non-traditional method. So try to get them involved, get them up to the whiteboard, get them to make some relevant factors as to what I'm teaching and as to what's in the book. I use a lot of times because I have two daughters from my first marriage, and both one is light-skinned with blue eyes and had blonde hair when she was born. The other young lady happened to have brown eyes. The youngest is brown eyes and brown hair. So I take pictures in of my two children, and I ask the students, because you know most kids, they're going to sit there and look, and you know they're going to look at you and say, you know, why you have two, you know, kids that look too different, you know, when you had two baby daddies, you know, so it gives them, you know, the opportunity. And, you know, we make a little joke of it at first. And I said, well, no, both of them had the same dad. So then we're able to open up the door to reflect on the genes and the probability of how you can have this proportion of, you know, of a child looking like this versus, you know, looking like this. So it is... it has definitely been a blessing. This is my 20th year of teaching, and I just build on from there, you know, find different things that that I can go in. So it's a more of an encouragement for teachers who have pretty much given up on being able to teach our kids of today. And then it also gives parents an opportunity to see what also, you know, that they have to do in order to help their students on a day-to-day basis.
Well, you definitely have a lot to teach us.
Yes, yes, just as you do.
Well, thank you so much, Nicole. I'm glad we were finally able to meet up, and I can't wait to share this.
Thank you. And I look forward to talking to you and getting up there real soon one day.
Awesome.
Oh, I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would now. So good, so good. I got it. Oh, I feel nice. Sugar and spice. I feel nice. Like sugar and spice. So nice, so nice. Since I got it.
Listening to Hash It Out with Jane. I'd love to hear your thoughts regarding this episode. Feel free to drop me a line at hashitoutwithjane@gmail.com and be sure to visit my blog, which is located at thegimpavenger.blogspot.com.